So my friends, today's readings, because it's the end of the year, next week is the last Sunday of the year, the church's year. So we have readings that are helping us to be expectant of the second coming of the Lord. Now I don't know how much time you spend thinking about the second coming of the Lord, probably not much. But when you read the New Testament, it's full of it. That Jesus has come, firstly, as a little child born in Bethlehem, as the Lamb of God, who is offered for us, taken and sacrificed on the cross for our sake. But he will come again, and this time in glory. He'll come on the clouds of heaven that's spoken of. And don't worry, you won't miss it. Sometimes people say, oh, we must get ready for the coming of the Lord, and so we'll pile up a few things and put this aside, and we'll go out into the desert somewhere, and that's when he's going to come. Don't worry. When he comes, all will know. It's clear from the scripture that that's one thing that we do know, as it'll be very clear, no one will miss this glorious coming of the Lord if we have not yet gone to him through death. And so we need to be always on the ready. That's the point. We live as if it is coming tonight or tomorrow. It's all in the Lord's mind as to when that will happen. We don't know times or dates. We're told by Jesus not to try and predict, as people do, don't they? And they always get it wrong. Because we won't be able to predict it. And that's the other thing the scripture tells us, it'll come unexpectedly, like a trap that catches a bird or something, you know. Or like a door that comes down quickly. Yeah, it comes like that. And so we won't know. It'll be unexpected. People will be just going about doing their things that they normally do. Normal life. But then there'll come the Lord. And he'll come, of course, as the judge of the living and the dead. But now, dear brothers and sisters, let us not be fearful. Because in the heart of our Christ, who died on that cross for you and me, you're in his heart. And he has a tender, loving, compassionate heart that really is far greater than any justice. So we leave the judgment to him. We cannot judge anybody, not even the worst criminal. We leave the judgment to the Lord because he is merciful in his judgment and only he can judge. But he will. And so we need to be ready. Purify ourselves and be ready for the moment. But for most of us, maybe I guess for all of us, who knows, I'm not to say, the Lord will come in a personal way to us in death. That is definite. There's nothing more certain than that, huh? We can't predict when he's coming in the glorious triumphant return. Nor can we predict the moment of our death, but we certainly know it will happen. And so these readings help us just to stir our hearts a bit, to get our hearts right for the coming of the Lord. We live our lives in a bit of a bubble without a perspective beyond this life and all that we experience, because we are sensate people. We're experiencing sensual things all the time. And so it's very difficult for us to go beyond, to think beyond what we can see and touch and taste. But as sure as God made little green apples, you and I are meant for eternity. That's a big word, isn't it? Eternity. Remember the bicentennial celebrations? Remember the beginning of this millennium? When we had, not bicentennial, but the millennial celebrations. On the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, in beautiful copper plate letters, eternity. What a wonderful thing to start the millennium with. The big word, eternity. And you know the story behind that, don't you? Arthur Stace, who was a metho drinker and a petty criminal back in the 30s in Sydney, and he stumbled into an Anglican church and heard a preacher preaching about Jesus, the Saviour. Came outside and under a Moreton Bay fig tree, gave his life to Jesus. And then a few years afterwards, he was a committed Christian, he went into another church and heard a preacher say that what we need in this city and all the cities in the world is someone to go about shouting eternity, 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 to wake people up to realise that this time here on earth is so short, it's over in a flash, and then we're in eternity, either with God or elsewhere, in hell. Eternity. And so he heard that sermon, and he was a guy who was illiterate. He'd never been able to even write his own name. He came out, and it was so filled with it, he actually wrote the name. He had a piece of chalk, and he just wrote it perfectly on the pavement in beautiful letters. Eternity. And so he became known as Mr. Eternity. Nobody knew who it was. 500,000 times around Sydney, something like that, he wrote this word, eternity. And so over the years, he became a bit of a mysterious figure. Finally, they realized who he was, Mr. Eternity. What a great message. And it's a message that we today need to hear and have in our hearts. You're meant for eternity, to have that eternal perspective. And now that I'm sort of creeping up, getting up in the 60s there, late 60s, mind you, I start to think more about eternity. What's it going to be like, that passage through into eternity? Am I ready for it? Have I lived my life in a way that will... I won't be ashamed of looking into the eyes of Jesus when he welcomes me into eternity. I trust that I'll be able to lift my head high with confidence as he welcomes me into paradise. Oh, I trust that for you too, that each one of you would be able to come to the Lord in that way. That's important, isn't it? It's the most important thing in life, and yet we forget about it. We put it aside and don't worry about it. And maybe the environment of crisis that we are experiencing in the world at this present moment could help us to be more reflective about this truth, could maybe shake us a bit, and I'm sure we are all shaken by what happened in Paris and shocked to the core, and maybe left somewhat feeling insecure inside ourselves. This horrible reality of a death cult that is obviously inspired by Satan and yet claiming to be doing things in the name of God. That's what makes it even more horrific. And so this reality that we're dealing with in the world today, which the Pope calls us a third world war, a piecemeal war, but it's a third world war that we're in, and a horrific war at that. And you wonder, is it going to have an end? So we find ourselves in that situation. And this then could spur us to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus crucified. Look to him who hung on that cross for every human person. And to see there our hope, the hope for the human race. Because when Jesus went to that cross, he allowed the worst violence to be executed against him. Now, he absorbed that violence into his very body. And through his death, he broke the cycle of violence. He made it possible for human beings to live without violence. He poured mercy into the world, forgiveness, healing, love from his holy wounds. This is our hope, and this is our hope for humanity. The only hope for humanity is in Jesus. Because there on the cross, love conquered hatred. There on the cross, goodness overcame evil. There on the cross, holiness defeated sin. On the cross, through his humility, Jesus brought down the proud and the arrogant. And there on the cross, we find our hope. We must look to Jesus crucified. Yes, we can be shocked and shattered, and rightly so, and feel solidarity with those who have suffered so greatly. But you know, today we did a procession with the Blessed Sacrament from here up to the cathedral. And it was beautiful, singing songs and praying the rosary and praying the litanies. And two of the litanies that we prayed as we went through Manuka, with all the people gawking at us, you know, what's these Christians all about? We prayed the litany of the Sacred Heart and the litany of the Precious Blood. And I was thinking as we were praying these prayers going through, and I'm holding the Blessed Sacrament before me, Lord, because the answer to each of them was, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Blood of Jesus, have mercy on us. Invoking the name of Jesus and his love upon the world. Yes, he does have mercy upon this world. And that prayer rises up to his heart. And his heart is for each person. A heart of mercy, a tender heart of merciful love, which those young men who walked into that theatre spraying people with bullets have no knowledge of. What a lostness that they have been in. You know, somehow or other built into an ideology that has nothing to do with God. And we have come to know the merciful heart of our God. And we pray for other young people like that, that they too will come to know the merciful heart of our God, rather than be trained in violence and hatred, which has nothing to do with God. It's the exact opposite of who God is. Do you know, up in our chapel, during November, we have a list of all the holy souls that we're praying for. You know, our family members who have died and others, etc. And so we're going to list there on that altar all the names of the people who were killed in the Paris massacre, including the attackers, the assailants. Because God's mercy, we must pray for everybody. We don't know, we cannot judge anybody. We can't even say that Hitler's in hell. We don't know. We cry out to God for his mercy upon all people. We don't know. We give it over to God. But what we do know is that this is a time of crisis in the world. And our response will be very important. And the response should not be a response of hatred, because that will not be from the cross. But it should be a response of decision. A deeper decision to love. As I took that walk today, I said to Jesus, who was before me here, I was holding him, Lord, help me to love. Help me to move against this tide of hatred and violence and bitterness and revenge. Help me to be an instrument of your peace in the world today. Help me to be a means of your love to come to many people. You know, it reminded me of the beginning of the millennium in 2002. John Paul II came to Toronto for the World Youth Day there. And there were thousands and thousands of young people, of all the flags, of all the different nations waving. It was just beautiful. And he spoke to us in a beautiful way because it was just after the Twin Towers had been smashed, in the beginning of this act of hatred that's been then continued through until now, and it looks like it's not going to end for a while yet. But he said, young people, you have a choice to make. You can choose to go the way of hatred and violence symbolized by what happened to the Twin Towers in New York, or you can go the way of love, symbolized, he said, by the holy door which I opened in St. Peter's Basilica for the holy year, the year 2000. And people went streaming through that door. And I did too. I had the opportunity of being in Rome and pushed my way through with everybody else. But it was so beautiful because you, outside it was sort of bedlam, but when you got into the basilica, you were lifted up by beautiful music to the heights. There was a sense of going through the door who is Christ. He is the door for each one of us. He's the door for every human person to go through. And that door will take us into the mystery of his love, the mystery of his tender mercies he hung on that cross for each one of us. And we come through that door tonight in this Eucharist. And we must understand what John Paul II said elsewhere. When he said that in the Eucharist, because it represents for us what Jesus won for us on the cross through his love that overcame hatred and the goodness that overcame evil, he said, every Eucharist celebrated devoutly has more power than all the evil in the universe, because it contains Christ who has won the victory. And so let's believe that tonight as we celebrate this Eucharist. Let's cry for the mercy of God upon our world and upon our own poor lives too, because the line between good and evil does not just go between those evil people over there, Islamic terrorists, and those people over there who seem to be sort of good. No, the line goes through every human heart, your heart and my heart, because there's evil within each one of us that needs to be overcome. We too need to be set free from the movements of the heart for the wrong. And so let's cry out for mercy to God upon our own hearts as well. We'd be cleansed and purified. So that if he comes again tomorrow, or if he comes next week, or if he comes to take you to himself in personal death, you'll be able to look him in the eye, because you've stood for him. You've lived the way of Jesus, the way of love. You've not succumbed to the way of the world, which is violence and hatred, but you've been overwhelmed by the love that poured out for you from that cross. And you've allowed his precious blood to cleanse and purify you and change you and make you new. And so Jesus, come upon us tonight. Show us your tender heart, that we may live that way and change this world. Bless his name.